What you're about to listen to has the power to completely change your life, taking you from where you might currently find yourself to where you ought to be. This is the Word of God coming to you from Christ Family Ministry.
I'm starting a new series that we trust God to run this month. It's an offshoot of what I began to teach yesterday, and it's a series I tag Dimensions.
Amen.
Dimensions. Now, let's turn our Bibles to Isaiah chapter 11 before we begin our discussion this morning. Amen. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. Isaiah 11. The Bible says that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. Glory to God. Let's go to Amos chapter 9. So I said, that's a while. Amos chapter 9, verse 13. Maybe some people are wondering. I thought Amos was just someone's name. Yeah, it's someone's name, but it's a book in the Bible. Now, Amos 9, 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed, the mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and all the hills shall flow with it. Amen. Glory to God. Give me that scripture in the Message translation. The Bible says, yes, indeed, it won't be long now. God's decree. Things are going to happen so fast. Amen. Your head will swim. Amen. One thing fast on the heels of the other. Amen. You won't be able to keep up. Amen. Everything will be happening at once. And everywhere you look, blessings. Amen. Blessings like wine pouring off the mountains and the hills. Amen. Praise God. You know, the Bible refers to the church as the mountain of God. The Bible refers to the church as the mountain of the Lord. Isaiah 2 says, in that day, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be what? Exalted above every other mountains, and nations shall flow into it. Hebrews chapter 12 says, we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, to the heavenly Jerusalem. That means where we are, glory to God, is the mountain. And God says, blessings like wine will be pouring off the mountains and the hills. That means God has brought us as a church into a time zone, into a season, and into a place, and you are all part of it. So what are we discussing when we talk about dimensions? We're talking about the anointing of God's Spirit. We're talking about the anointing of God's Spirit. We're talking about the different dimensions of the anointing of God's Spirit. Because there are many things that God wants to do on this earth, and we should make no mistake, they cannot be done without the anointing. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible says, it's not by might, it's not by power, but by what? But by my Spirit. That means for every assignment, for every purpose, and every plan that God has concerning a man, he has his equipment, he has his tool, he has his way that he wants to bring that thing to pass. Trust in the Lord, the Bible says, with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. He's saying, all your ways, do what? Acknowledge him. Part of what that scripture says is that acknowledge how God wants to do it. Acknowledge his ways. Amen. And when you acknowledge God, he brings to pass all his plans concerning your life. The struggle that most Christians have had in their walk with God is that they have tried to do God's thing man's way. they have neglected what God equips them with to do what he wants them to do. Is someone listening to me? But when God wants to do anything in anybody's life, God wants to do anything in any man's life, are you getting me? He has his plans. He has his way of getting it done. In the book of Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27, the Bible says, in that day, maybe you put it up, it says, the yoke will be what? And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden will be taken off from your shoulder. He says, and his yoke from your neck. He says, and the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. That means the anointing of God is the burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. And in this generation and in this time that we're in, we still need to realize that there is something known as the power of God, known as the anointing of God's Spirit. This anointing is tangible. This anointing is not an imagination. This anointing is a force. It is tangible. The Bible tells us in the book of Mark that a woman came in the press behind and did what? And touched the hem of Jesus' garment. And Jesus said at once, who touched me? Are you with me? For I have felt what? Virtue leave me. That means it was a tangible thing that when he left him, he could tell that something had left his body. The anointing is real. The anointing is tangible. Jesus, as anointed as he was, did not go about God's plan for his life without the anointing. That's what scripture tells us in Luke chapter 4 from verse 17. The Bible says, and he returned in the power of the Spirit. And what was his declaration? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. So the anointing is important to do what God wants you to do. If you're a teacher, you need the anointing. If you are, people feel that when God calls you into the ministry, you need the anointing, which is very true. But for whatever assignment that God has asked you to do, you also need the anointing. You need the anointing as a teacher. You need the anointing as an engineer. You need the anointing, are you getting me, to live your everyday life, because you will not go far in the plans and purpose of God without this dimension. A lot of us are aware of a simple dimension, getting knowledge, which is important. If you were here during the scepter, we were emphasizing on that. It's good to get knowledge. It's good to get information. There are principles that God has set in place. You need to know them. But there's another dimension also that you should not be ignorant of. And what's that dimension? It's called the anointing of God's Spirit. If you're a teacher, you need the anointing. If you're a wife, you need the anointing. If you're a husband, you need the anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 20. Let's turn our Bibles there. 1 John 2, 20. The Bible says, but you have what? An anointing. Say me. He says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. Isn't that beautiful? You have an anointing from the Holy One. Say, I have an anointing from the Holy One. So he says, you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know a few things. No. He says, and you know all things. That means when you become more conscious of the anointing of God's Spirit, you will never be aloof in any situation in life. You know, some Christians are aloof. They don't even know what the time is saying. They are always confused. I've said that time without number. No Christian ought to be confused. I will never say I'm confused. You will never hear me say I'm confused. It doesn't matter how chaotic the situation is. Aaron can never be confused. Because confusion means temporal insanity. That means you come to a place where your mind doesn't know what next to do. If you operate at the level of the mind only, you will have moments of confusion because you've done all your permutations, you've put everything in place, and it will still not be working. But there's another dimension. You are a spirit man. Not just are you a spirit man, you are a spirit man that has been recreated in God. You are alive to God. Have you ever sat down to think about that? I'm alive to God. That means I can receive signals directly from the Spirit of God, from the omniscient one who knows all things. So I'm never confused. Someone wants to say, unto the upright, what happens? Light arises in darkness. So it doesn't matter the darkness around you. Light will always come up. And it's a function of what? The anointing. He says, and you know all things. Verse 27 of that 1 John 2 says, but the anointing which you have received. I know in the context that this scripture was, this letter was written, he was talking about false prophets. But it also applies to every area of our lives too. There are many false things around. You don't need to be caught in the middle of any of them. Too many false things. They are false business people. They are false ministers. They are false teachings. But every false thing has an original. And the Bible says you have an anointing that will help you discern the original from the false. So you don't have to move in fear and caution because there is a fake one. You have an anointing that teaches you the real stuff. And the Bible says that anointing which you have received does what? From him, Kai, abides in you. It's in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you. That means no, that word teach you doesn't mean you shouldn't sit here and hear God's word. When you say you don't need anyone to teach you, means you don't need anyone to lie to you. That's why someone can be lying to you, but something on the inside of you can tell this is not true. Someone can try to deceive you. Do you know, if Adam was sensitive, Eve wouldn't have been deceived. So every time we suffer from deception, it's because we have not aligned to the anointing that abides in us. Maybe you're a businessman, and you say, oh, the guy looked so nice. He had a sweet tongue. And he got me into the business. Oh, he deceived me. You know why that was possible? It was possible because you were not conscious of the anointing of God in you. The Bible says that anointing abides. It doesn't leave. It's in you. It's there. All you need to do is listen. All you need to do is be sensitive. All you need to do is be conscious. And the Bible says that anointing teaches you concerning all things. So you see, it teaches you concerning all things. So while that person is trying to defraud you, trying to lie to you, why that man is trying to lie to you? Sisters, you don't need to follow any Chaka the Zulu. Are you with me? Why he's lying to you? You have an anointing on the inside. And the Bible said that anointing is true and it's not a lie. And just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. So you see, the anointing gives us protection against things that natural senses will not be able to pick up. Because our natural senses are limited in their decision making. Ordinarily, if something looks good, tastes good, feels good, the natural judgment is to say yes. But the anointing tells you that it can taste good, it can look good, it can feel good. Are you getting me? But it's wrong. This person is deceiving you. So you see, God has us all covered. Good place to say amen. Amen. But also, this anointing is also an empowerment. It's an empowerment. It is the blessing of God. That means it can lift someone from a current position to where God wants him to be. And the anointing guarantees success in every venture that we get involved in. Are you listening? This anointing can pick a low life and transform him into what God wants him to be. Say, I bless God for the Holy Spirit. Honestly, the Holy Spirit. I was telling Pastor Avisi the other day, I said, the Holy Spirit is a gift. It's one of the best things that happened to the church. I was singing this song a few days ago. Thank you, oh my Father, for giving us your Son and leaving your Spirit till the whole work on earth is done. Someone says, is that a hymn? It's not a hymn. I know you've never heard that song. But thank you for giving us Jesus. But that's not all. When Jesus was leaving, he said, I'm sending to you another comforter that will abide with you forever. And we know that that word comforter means paracletos. One called to walk aside exactly like Christ. We don't miss Jesus. If you miss Jesus, you don't know the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was sent so that you don't miss Jesus. So you don't say, oh, if Jesus were here. No, he's still here. He said, lo, I am with you to the end of the age. He's with us in the person of the Holy Spirit. So with the Holy Ghost, not just on me, but in me, hi, I have not been called to live ordinary. Can you tell anybody I've left ordinary? You've left ordinary to extraordinary. That means there's ordinary, but there's an extra to what you do. There is natural, then there is a super to your natural. So you are not doing ordinary business. You are not an ordinary person. I am not an ordinary. See, let it not be said from your mouth. What do you do? I'm an ordinary farmer. No. You are not an ordinary farmer. You are an extraordinary farmer. Can you turn to your neighbor and tell your neighbor what you are? I'm an extraordinary business person. I am an extraordinary driver. I'm an extraordinary serviceman. I'm an extraordinary pastor. You know the ordinary pastors? I'm not one of such. I'm extraordinary. I've got the extra. The anointing abides in me. 1 Samuel chapter 10 tells us the story of Saul, the first king of Israel. And yesterday night I told you that you cannot provide leadership without the anointing. You cannot win without the anointing. Anybody who is thinking about leadership only from a single dimension will not excel. You need all dimensions to be able to provide effective leadership in every sphere and every sector that God has placed you. We said Jezreel is your point of posting, your point of sowing. So maybe God has posted you in a factory, he has posted you in a company, he has posted you in a ministry, he has posted you in a business, posted you in a job. You know the good news? You need an anointing. So if you look at the Old Testament, nobody was ever selected to do anything without being anointed. You couldn't be a priest without the anointing. To stand in any God-ordained office, you needed the anointing. Even in the New Testament, they were anointed. When the day of Pentecost fully came, they were anointed. That baptism of fire is what? Is the anointing. They were anointed to serve. Your life will be bitter if you try to serve without the anointing. Jesus said, tarry ye here in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. God told me some years ago, Arame, you cannot help people without power. What a word. You can't. Tarry here until you're endued with power. Is somebody alive here? You say, oh, pastor, I want to do this. I want to help people. Why don't they want me to help them? If God knows my heart, my heart is to help the people. It's not desire alone. You need power. There are many people with good desires. Many people with great desires. But this system that you are in, called this world, does not operate without power. Have you ever wondered why you say, I've got a great message, nobody wants to hear it? Power. Power is influence. And the early apostles will never send anybody out to do anything without what? Anointing the person. And that's what the laying on of hands is about. When hands have been laid upon them, go. Do you know the early disciples? No, of course, things have changed. But the early disciples did not need starter packages to go anywhere and preach. Nothing like, this is your allowance, this is your house. As they are praying, Magaraba Kosata Lavrandoze Calabrandaza, they start hearing Damascus, Damascus, Damascus. Legaraba Katoze Protoze Talaba, Rabba Calaba Kotoze Calaba, Jonese, Jonese. By the time they hear Damascus, Jonese, they collided. Jonese, you are going to Damascus. Is somebody with me? And guess what they did? They didn't say, okay, this is what you're going to have. No, no. They will bring Jonese, and then they will fast and pray. Then they will lay hands upon him and say, Jonese, the Lord be with you. We are waiting to hear the results. You have gone. You know why? You know why they were not so bothered? Because they knew that if you carry the anointing, you are made. When Joseph left, Jacob left the house, what was it he left with? It was the anointing. It's called the blessing, the dew of heaven. He says, the smell of my field, Genesis 27, is like the smell of the field that the Lord has blessed. The Lord give you the dew of heaven. Amen. Oh, Masheka. You see, when I think about it, I get excited. The Lord give you. That means it's something tangible that is given to you. The Lord give you the dew of heaven, fatness of the earth, plenty corn and wine. Amen. Let nations serve you. Amen. Let your mother's brethren serve you. Kai. And you know, with that alone, this guy got up and ran. Sometimes you can be anointed and run. It's okay. You could be on the run, but it doesn't change the fact that you're anointed. If it's some foolish people today, they would have acted like Esau. They wouldn't have cried. You know, the Bible says Esau wept. He cried when he met the father and said, is there no single blessing that you could give to me? You know why he was weeping? He knew that he has carried it. If it's some foolish people today, guess what they'll say? He has gone. Everything belongs to me. I thought he claimed he was the firstborn. Let's see how he will lay hold on any of these things again. Let me just chill and wait for Isaac to die. Let Popsy die, so that I can begin to command my inheritance. Let me say it like they say it on the streets. Na anointing we go, chop. What is the answer? Yes. It's a dimension. So 1 Samuel chapter 10 tells us the story of Saul. This is the interesting part about Saul's life. Saul did not set out to be a king. He just became the answer to the obstinate prayer of a nation. A nation was just praying, give us a king. We want a king. We want a king. We want a king, until he became a movement. We want king too. Hashtag. That was their cry. That was their prayer. Give us a king. And listen, of course, they were way ahead of God's agenda and plan for them. But see, God is very loving. And here is this guy from the tribe of Benjamin doing well, and he got some of his donkeys got missing, and he was going to look for them. Amen. See, that's what he went for. Searching from place to place. He moved from Makodi, he was in Tarukwe. Are you getting me? From Tarukwe, he moved to Yande. From Yande, he entered Boko. Man, those donkeys must have been very precious. Right now, that will not mean much to you until I tell you that you are a farmer and three of your tractors are missing. Some of you, even if the spare tire of your car gets missing, you will search it out in this whole town. Are you getting a picture? So when they say he lost three donkeys, you need to understand what it meant to him. It was of economic importance. It was of great value. It was a beast of burden. It was a means of transportation. So he was looking for it. That is what he went out looking for. He didn't leave his house that day and say, when I'm back, I'll be a king. But as he was looking for it, as he was looking for them, He couldn't find them. So he's one of the servants just suggested to him, there is a prophet in this town. When you meet prophets, your life changes. There's a prophet in this town. Let's take a gift to him and talk to him. Perhaps he will help us locate our missing donkeys. So the Bible says, they packaged this gift and they took it to the prophet. And when they met the prophet, I can imagine the prophet just meditating. And they said, we've brought a seed. He said, okay, I'll tell you later. Some of you are too in a hurry. Prophets are not Google. That anytime there is data, you check. When was my grandfather born? Are you getting me? I just, you know, he needs to hear from God. And guess the answer the prophet brought was totally different. The answer was this. You are going to stay with me. You follow me to the high place. You will eat and drink. Tomorrow I will tell you everything that is on your heart. I'm sure he was saying, that's not what brought me. He said, I'll tell you. But if a prophet said, tomorrow I'm telling you everything that's on your heart, you should know. And it was the following day. He said, and guess what? He said, as for the donkeys you're looking for, don't bother. God has them covered. But in chapter 10, you can read from 1 Samuel 9. In chapter 10, it was in this encounter that Samuel now grabbed a flask of oil and poured it on his head and kissed him and said, you would expect to say, the donkeys have been found. No, guess what he said? He said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you? That means the moment that oil came upon his head, he began to speak. Is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? Verse 2 says, when you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. Ah, amen. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Then you shall go on forward from there and come to the terebinth tree of Tabor. There, three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you, one carrying three young goats, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin of wine. Look at the rest. Look at what he said. He said, and they will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, and you shall receive from their hands. He didn't say reject it. Say receive it. Then he says, after that, you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. He says in verse 6, then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. What was he saying? You came looking for donkeys, but by this oil that I've poured upon you, your experiences have changed. Before the oil came, you were looking for something. After the oil, they'll be looking for you. Is somebody here? That means the anointing has a way of changing someone's experience. The anointing, are you with me? Changes your experiences. That's why you hear someone say, this is where I used to be. This is what my experiences were. But something switched. Ah, I have looked for a job for over 6 years. But after that service, are you with me? I began to get invitations from different places. It is the function of the anointing. First of all, he said you will meet two people. You will meet two people. They will bring you good news. Can I speak to you? Hallelujah. After this service, glory to God. As you're going out, your experiences will be different. Amen. Your experiences will be, this week, your experiences will be different. Amen. The kind of people you meet will be different. Amen. In the name of Jesus. So look at the things that he brought, thinking were serious issues. God just trivialized them. Don't bother. So then you will begin to meet other people. The next thing I want to let you know is that when the anointing comes upon you, your interactions change. It has the power to locate you with the necessary relationships. Listen. We're told during the scepter, we're all interconnected. You are five people away from anybody you want to meet in this world. Hope you know that. You are five people away from anybody you want to meet in this world. Guess what the anointing does? It makes your path collide with those people. So in business, you want to expand. There's somebody that when you meet, the expansion will come. It's the anointing that takes you from where you are. And then, you see, when the anointing begins to work in a man's life, you know, I really want to teach it, but I find myself... When the anointing begins to work in a man's life, people can explain the effects, but they can't replicate it. You can explain something in someone's life, but it doesn't mean that you can replicate it. Haven't you heard some people talk about people's stories and they say, ah, I used to know that guy. I used to know that lady. You know, in fact, you are just like that, like that. All those like that, in the story, they are functions of the supernatural. Haven't you heard something? I know him. I know him. In fact, we used to play street football together. Then the guy went to go and visit his cousin. And his cousin suggested they take a trip to Belgium. The next thing I was seeing him on television. And that's how they signed him for Leeds. And from Leeds, the next thing I heard that the guy is now playing for Liverpool. And from the way things are going, they will win the league in a couple of days. This guy that I used to know. I think you have explained it. Now you also travel and go and meet your cousin. And see whether you end up in Belgium. Are you getting what I'm saying? You can explain what led to what. But guess what? You cannot have those results. Because what is making those relationships to come together is something beyond what you can do. That's why there are parts we have to play. But there is something about the anointing that begins to bring everything together. Makes you be in the right place at the right time. Meeting the right people. Getting the right results. Is somebody getting what we're saying this morning? Every person listening to me and those of you under the sound of my voice, I say to you with so much confidence that in the season that we are in, you will not miss the people you need to meet. Amen. You won't. Listen, I'm not saying you will struggle to get access. No, no, no. I'm saying by the anointing of God's Spirit, you will meet with the right people to be where you need to be in the name of Jesus Christ. The power of God's Spirit, the anointing. It's not every time the operations of God's anointing are in spectacular forms. I know that I'm here today because of the anointing of God's Spirit. That anybody who wants to listen to me is because of the anointing. It's not because... Yes, I can take. I believe in taking lessons in public speaking. I'm yet to finish anyone. But that's not the reason. It's the anointing. That you will leave your house, have your bath on a Sunday morning and say, you want to come and hear me? It's the anointing. And I make no mistake of trying to function outside that zone. Do you know this story about Saul? It's so interesting. Because that day, all Israel did not come to bow to him. If I read the next verse, verse 8. Let's go to verse 8. The Bible says, burnt offering, 7 days you shall wait till I come to you and show you what you should do. Verse 9. Verse 9 says, so it was when he had turned his back to go from Samuel that God gave him another heart. The anointing will give you another disposition. It will give you another heart. It will change your mannerisms. That the Lord gave him another heart and all those signs came to pass. That means there is a heart necessary to attract certain things. I told you yesterday, sometimes you talk about think big, think big, think big, think big. You would do your best to think big. You can't see beyond a particular limit. In fact, meditate all you can. You can't. There are places you can't see yourself. The mind has limits. You know that. For example, I say, just imagine yourself as a billionaire. To be honest, if they give you tea tomorrow, you can't understand Do you know if you have a billion naira, you can spend a million naira every day for 1 year. It won't finish. Now, if they put a billion naira here, every day, you can spend 1 million. You can spend 1 million naira every day. And you'll be spending it for 3 years. Every day. Now, if they say imagine a billion, the truth is that if you are struggling to pay 2,000 naira, you with me, and they are talking 1 billion, anyhow you try to stretch your mind, you don't understand what 1 billion is. You might only know how to write it. It doesn't mean you understand it. Are you getting what I'm saying? So the mind has borders. It has limits. Some years ago, that was about 14 years ago, yeah. I went to Abuja to go and preach. So I followed Reverend Ada to Zenith Bank in Maitama. He went to do some transactions. Well, I don't want to tell you the other part of the story, but one part of the story was that when I came there, they didn't even want to allow me to enter because they said, where are your documents for transaction? And I didn't know what they were saying. Rev said, no, we're together, so we got in. When I entered into the bank, the bank was talking back at me. You've never had that kind of experience? Okay. I was born again, Springfield. The bank was telling me, you, what are you doing here? The structure, the ambience, the place just intimidated me. And I didn't come to do anything. It was pursuing me. I didn't come to do anything. I'm not the one who came to withdraw money. I don't have an account here. The thing was just talking to me because when I saw the elegance and the magnificence of the place, coming from Bank of the North here in Boko, and the things I've been seeing, when I entered there, I said, what happens here? That was the day I discovered that money has influence. Money is spiritual. It was just talking back at me. Live here. Live here. You are not supposed to be here. What are you doing here? I said, I followed him. I didn't have an answer. Like the seven sons of Siva. You know, there are certain situations that confront you. You don't have an answer. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. You, who are you? He said, eh? What did you say? You know, there are situations like that. You begin to ask, you, who are you? I'm Siva. That is not the answer to the situation. That's where I was. And that's what the whole building was saying. Until last year, I was going to apply for a visa and I needed a bank statement. So I drove to that same place. It just dawned on me. When I was entering there, I had chopped the thing. It was in my pocket. I was wondering why the thing was talking to me. I said, talk now, let's hear. No, someone says, it's because you have a lot of money. No. It's because the heart has changed. It's the anointing that enlarges the capacity of the heart even to receive. Solomon offered 1,000 burnt offerings. What did scripture say? The Bible says, and the Lord did what? Enlarge Solomon's heart like the sand upon the seashore. So even the enlargement of heart is a function of the anointing. It's a function of the anointing. He gave him a new heart and all those signs. And guess what? When your heart expands, what God says comes to pass. Some prophetic words are hanging over people's lives because their hearts have not developed the capacity to receive it. The anointing gives you capacity. And I'm talking to someone here. It gives you what? Capacity. Do you know what scripture says about Saul? When the day for ordination came, and Samuel came and said, you all asked for a king, I'm going to give you a king. Do you know, Samuel didn't say, here is Saul, I have anointed him, here is your king. No, go and read your Bible. The anointing ceremony was a private issue. But it manifested itself in the physical. How did it happen? He said, you all want a king, so I've brought a king. So we're going to choose who a king will be. They casted lots. When they casted the lots, it fell to the house of Benjamin. Then in the house of Benjamin also, they decided to cast another set of lots. And when they casted it, guess where it landed? On the family of Kish. Then they said, let's cast the final die for who will be king. We have this, have this, have this. When they casted it, it landed on who? On Saul. Saul ran away. The thing was so on point, he ran away. The Bible says he hid. He hid himself. They say, where is that Saul? You see, what was making... I think they say that when you are casting a die, it is what? A matter of probability. There's nothing like probability in life. There's nothing like probability. There's nothing like luck. Someday I'm going to get lucky. There's nothing like luck. There is an anointing that directs the die to rest where it should rest. Oh, my labaka. Listen to me. There's an anointing that directs the die when it is cast. That means when they are shuffling through files and thinking about names, when this anointing is upon you, they will go through this fire, go through this fire, go through this fire, go through this fire, go through it. It will land on your own. Some people just keep waiting to be lucky. Many years ago, I discovered that my life could never be lived on the basis of probability. I learned that very early because luck never brought me anything. You know how they will say, I remember when I was a child, there were all kinds of promo. They still run them, but I don't care. Scratch and recharge this, win generator, win this. I know, I just go and buy it. Listen to me. You know all those lucky dip, lucky this, lucky that? In the context of luck, I have never been lucky. I remember there was a promo, I can never forget that. I wanted that radio. I don't know why. You know, there's this promo for, there were radios that were giving out Omo. That detergent called Omo. Do they still make Omo? I must buy it this week. I've not seen it in a very long time. But notice they will say, buy Omo, take the top cap, write your name and address, five of them, put them together. The idea is that you have to buy five to have five tops. So I will cut it. Anytime my mom buys Omo, it used to come in those packs, remember? Those, I will cut it, I'll write my name, I kept posting, looking at the daily, this thing, my name never came out. My parents would be laughing. Maybe that's why I didn't even come out. They would be laughing. But I was diligent. Because there's this, they were giving other gifts, but that was not really my concern. What I wanted was that radio. The radio looks exactly like Omo. It's branded Omo, it looks Omo. So it's like you're carrying a talking Omo. That's what I wanted. Then Coca-Cola brought one and said, if you can package, if you buy a bottle of Coke and you pick it up, look under the cap, you will see something. I never saw my name. I never saw anything that won anything. Every time is try again. Try again, try again. So I've done some of those things. So I just discovered that anyway, they have to do permutations and... No, it doesn't. Oh, but the day I discovered the anointing. No. I didn't see myself unfortunate. In the midst of 100 people, my name will light up in people's hearts. Amen. Hi. I know I'm talking to someone. That means people, you don't send in your CV expecting to be lucky. No. When you understand this anointing, when the die is cast, it will land on your own. Even if they've shuffled you out, they will reshuffle again. This is the dimension I'm introducing you to. You need to add it to what you have learned. And that's how Saul was picked. Saul hid himself. They say, where is the Saul? The tallest man hid himself. And I can understand with Saul, getting into an unfamiliar territory, you are going to be the first king. Let me show you the reaction, even after he became king. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Give me the last two verses. The last two verses. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Glory to God. Anyone blessed this morning? The days of Tininitana are over. It's the days of the anointing. One thing happening fast on the heels of the other. Right place, right timing, meeting the right people, getting the right results. Do I have a witness here this morning? Your life is not a guesswork. Verse 26. And Saul also went home. This is after the ordination ceremony. Saul went home. I thought that once they picked him and anointed him as king, everybody was going to start following him and say, here is your throne. The Bible says he went home to Gibeah and valiant men went with him. Somebody that was hiding a while ago. The moment he was pronounced king and anointed, the Bible says valiant men, men of substance, began to follow him. The people following you after today are different. The Bible says valiant men went with him. I'm telling you that your associations and your circle of influence, they've changed. Let me talk to the people this way. Amen. They have changed. Glory to God. The Bible says valiant men went with him, whose hearts God had touched. And I decree and declare to you today, hallelujah, that people will begin to follow you into different places, will begin to invite you into their circles, people whose hearts the Lord have touched. Quit that struggling and expect something. Valiant men whose hearts the Lord have touched. And look at what it says. But some rebel said, how can this man save us? I'm sure someone was saying, now king be this. It doesn't matter. It's the people that matter that will be on your side. I say it's the people that matter that will be on your side. The rebels will always have something to say. The naysayers, they will always be there. But the men that matter will be on your side. So they despised him and brought him no presents. But he held his peace, confidence in the anointing. Some people will despise you and say, you are not worth it. You are not, you don't need to, but you need to hold your peace. Something is upon me. Something is upon me. You need to hold your peace. Can I speak to someone? Don't be too bothered about how they are treating you right now. Don't be too bothered how they think about you right now. Don't be too bothered about their narrow view of you right now. Hallelujah. Something has come upon you. And the men that matter, whose hearts the Lord have opened in your direction, they are following you in the name of Jesus. I love the anointing. As they were despising him, if you go to chapter 11, the next battle validated what was upon him. He validated what was upon him. Thank you, Jesus. Then Nahash the Ammonite came up and encamped against Jabesh Gilead, and all the men of Jabesh said to Nahash, make a covenant with us and we will serve you. You know, no need to read. You can go home and read it and see what happened. Thank you, Lord. Finally, for today. So this month, don't miss church for anything. We're talking about dimensions. I'll be showing you dimensions of the operation of this anointing. In the marketplace, at the home, everywhere. Play softly for me. Matthew 24, verse 22. Now there's another thing I want you to see about the anointing before we close. Matthew 24, 22. Speaking about the end times, Jesus said something. He says, and unless those days were shortened, no flesh will be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. For the sake of the elect. So I began to wonder, how does God shorten days? That means for God to exempt those who are elected. If you're elected, let me see your hand upon. Good. It's an election of grace. You're born again. That means when God has chosen someone, there are certain experiences that others will be having that he doesn't want that person to have. So he shortens the day for your sake. Do you get what we're saying? That means he introduces a concept of speed, a compression of time. That what ordinarily would have taken others 3 years to do, he brings you into a time zone where you have a different experience and it's done for you in a shorter period of time. It's something the church needs to wake up to. Because there are things that God wants to do and he needs you to arrive at certain places earlier than you are planning to. There are certain positions he needs you to get into and he needs you to be there shorter than you're planning to. In the scheme and permutation of things, you should be there in 15 years. But God needs you there earlier than that. Because if you stay longer, a lot of things will go wrong. A lot of things will go wrong. So he said, look, church, I know this is a natural time frame to get you to this place. But I also have another equipment for moving you there faster than you are planning to be there. Yes, Malcolm Gladwell has said you need 10,000 hours, which is good, which is true. Are you getting me? But you begin to wonder. This is your own calendar, but God has another calendar. And in that calendar, he's saying, if I have to wait for you to get to that place, a lot of things will not be done. So you need the skill. So this, what this anointing does, that it equips you and accelerates the pace with which the skill acquisition comes. And then he shortens the time to get to those same places. So guess what the anointing does? It fast forwards time for you. So that a movie of 2 hours can be watched in less than 2 minutes. Am I talking to someone? You know why? Because there's someone whose hand is on the remote and has the ability to make the decision. Am I talking to someone? In real time, this is how it should go. But in spirit time, this is how it will be. I came to announce to you this morning, glory to God, that you have stepped out of the zone of the natural and you have entered into the zone of the spiritual. Rabakato Sakalaba, stand up this morning. Librata Zotalaba Katasunda.
We know that you were richly blessed by the teaching you just heard. And we encourage you to give attention to every bit of it, because that brings you another step closer to amazing testimonies. For more life-changing messages like this one, visit www.christfamilyministries.org.